want to share a little something with you. I'm going to read you a little portion of Scripture. It's not really the text, although it could be, but it's not really, if that makes any sense to you. Because when I consider a text, that's something that I'm going to stay in and flow out of. I'm going to give you a scriptures tonight, but I'm not going to really stay there. But it's really the basis for it. So like I said, it could be the text, but I'm going to read it just because I know y'all like to have something to read before we start. Amen. Plus, it helps kind of set me on a track, get me going too. So, and I need that because y'all know me. I'm the rambler with that. So a little portion of Scripture helps me get me flowing and get me in the right place too. But I want to read you a little piece of Scripture out of Acts 2 tonight. Acts 2, and we'll start with verse 12, and we'll read about six verses thereof. And we'll just believe the Lord. This is something I put on my heart that I just feel like would be very instructive. For some, especially, maybe not for all, but for some. Amen. This is what the word of the Lord says. And the Bible, of course, this is following Pentecost. This is following the outpouring. And as the disciples have flowed and run out of the upper room and under the unction of the Spirit. And the Bible, all those that were around us says this about them. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, y'all Pentecostals, you know these scriptures. "You men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose." How many has heard that in a sermon? Bunches of this is not new stuff. But seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, and this was what was spoken, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men," I'm in that section now, I'm in the dreaming the dreams. I've long left the visions, and I'm now dreaming the dream, baby. And that's why I go to bed at 8:30, so I can get a start on it. Dreaming the dreams, amen. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I'm not going to go into this tonight, but the Lord's really put on my heart this word, prophecy. Prophesy, they shall prophesy. That is, you'll find that so connected to every move of the Spirit. I mean, it is really one of the dominant connections. We're not going to go into that tonight, but I'm just lining you up for probably next Wednesday or so. But it's so dominant. And we talked a little bit about Sunday, but it's just a dominant thing. But let's pray. Let's believe the Lord to bless our time tonight. Father, I do. I love you. I thank you for your word. And I just ask you tonight that you'll use it, that you'll bless our time, that you'll use it for the instruction of our heart and our soul. And let this even be an encouraging word tonight. Let this be a word that helps give us guidance, Lord God. And even as we seek you even more, Lord, even as we enjoy your spirit more and more, Lord, help us, Lord, to get a hold to all that your word says tonight. Lord, bless those that's come out tonight. Bless those needs. Bless the hearts, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Put your hand, Lord. We know that you add the blessing. You add the blessing. Without you, Lord, there's nothing gained. But with you, Lord, everything's possible. So we love you and we praise you. And thank you for everything you do for us. In the name of our great Lord, our Savior, our coming King, in Christ Jesus' name. And all the church agree and say, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord again. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. I was thinking as I was putting some thoughts together over the last couple of weeks, really, around this whole thought. As you know, I kind of been on this thought with the things of the Spirit and studying scriptures and kind of that in that mode anyway. But I was thinking about something. I wish, You know, many years ago when I, you know, was introduced to the church and into the things of the Spirit, really the Spirit was what really introduced me to the real church. I'd been introduced to the mechanical version of the church as a young kid, but the Spirit introduced me to the real church, 28 years ago now, I reckon. But I wish that somebody would have taught me what to expect negatively about when you enjoy or get more of the Spirit. Track with me just for a minute now, because here's what I had no problem with learning. I learned and had it taught very well all the benefits that come positively. I mean, man, I love that, and we need that too. We need to know what, especially those that have not heard. I was one at that time, had not heard what positively comes from a move of the Spirit, what we're endued with, what we can expect to be empowered with, what we should seek, what we should look for, what we should pray for, what we should, you know, we need to know all about the gifts. We need to know about the manifestations. We need to know what the empowerment is, what the endowment is, what it's for, what its ministry is, what it does for us. And I began to learn all of that as a young believer, and as one who was at the time, in those first year or two, it was just curious. I was kind of one of them. I was curious. I wasn't much about ready to jump in, but I thought, well, I'm just going to ride this out right here and see what this feels like for a while. And that's what I did. I just kind of would, kind of like dipping your foot in the water, you know, just kind of to see and sticking it in, bring it out. But for a couple years, I did that really and didn't say a word, didn't say nothing, and just observed and soaked and studied and on kind of on that. And I heard all these things about, you know, the power and the fruits of the Spirit and even the reception of those particular things. But one thing I can remember, as I thought back on this and as I was studying this, and even kind of as it comes out in this particular text that we read tonight, I didn't really ever hear anything that prepared me for the negative aspects or the negative consequences of me receiving it as far as from other people and the things that would come my way negatively. You'll know what I'm talking about here in just a minute as we'll begin to unpack this just a little bit. But you can expect some negative. I wish that somebody said, you know what, if you get full of the Spirit, this is what you can expect negatively. I wish somebody had told me that. I wouldn't have been so shocked. I wouldn't have been so surprised. If somebody had told me, they did a good job telling me of all the good things that was coming, but they didn't tell me some of the bad things that was coming. And I wish they had. And that's kind of how this message kind of evolved, because that's really what was happening this particular day. The Spirit has hit them, and it's hit them good, and they're flowing, and they're pouring, and they're out in the street, and there's some negative aspects starting to come to pass as those that stand out kind of amazed and are doubting. There's kind of some negative feedback, if you will. And one of the things that I want to bring out tonight, and it's just three things. Somebody praise the Lord. I got three things I want to bring out tonight that you can kind of expect negatively with more of the Spirit. If you really get more of the Spirit, there's about three things negatively you can expect. Now, there's 100 things you can expect positively, but there's still about three things that you can expect that's going to happen negatively. And you need to prepare for that, because I have seen folk, and even in my own life, I've seen folk get whipped by the couple, two or three negative things. And that's why I come to preach it. That's the whole purpose of it, is don't let the negative whip you out of all the good. Amen. One of the things, and I'm gonna kind of just say it this way just because it sounds nice, but one of the things you can expect, if you want to say in a negative way, you can expect to be called eccentric. Eccentric. And that's just a nice word to say, they're gonna think you're strange. This world's going to think you're strange. You're going to think you're kind of odd. I'm talking about if you really get a hold to the Spirit. Matter of fact, that's how you can really know that maybe there's something going on. And even like the text we read, you're going to start, because you're going to operate. If you really get a hold to the Spirit, you're going to operate off of different influences. So you're going to be totally different. And you're going to be different to what they think is normal, what they think is common. But you're going to be so different because you're going to be operating off of a different influence now. You're not going to operate off of the worldly influence that everybody else operates off of. When everybody gets mad, well, you're going to be something else. When everybody else is wanting revenge, well, no, you're going to be wanting to forgive. When everybody else is operating in one realm, you're going to be over here on another realm because you're operating under a different influence. You're being led by a different spirit. It's going to look kind of crazy. And that's eccentric's the nice word for crazy. That's what this text brings out. Everybody that viewed them, they thought they were crazy or drunk. Amen. I wish somebody had explained this to me. Because I was shocked when all of a sudden everybody thought I was eccentric. And it was kind of a downer. It was kind of a deflator. But I wish I had a new ahead of time that if I really get more of the Spirit, that I'm going to be strange. You're going to be strange. If you really do, you're going to be different. You're going to be kind of strange. It's going to be kind of, I've been viewed this way. Some of y'all have viewed me this way. I've been viewed that that's a good man, but he's a little off. Amen. Some of you's grinning. That's all right. But you know, you should. You should. If you really you should be different than the worldly spirit that dominates most of our world. You should pull up and be different out of the entire crowd. If none of them has got the Spirit or are in the Spirit of the Lord, you should be different because of the way you view things, the way that you're led by this different spirit, that you're moved by this different motives, operating totally on different motives. You should be eccentric. You should be a little bit, as Peter tells us, peculiar. You should be a peculiar people. I just go on record right here, right now. Way too much of the church is not peculiar. Way too much of the church looks normal to the world. Amen, preacher. Not near eccentric enough. We flow out into the world. There's nobody looking and doubting or amazed. These seem to be crazy or drunken. Come on, somebody. Amen. But when you are flowing in, when you really are that, that should be what they view you as, because they can't comprehend really your behavior. You should have flipped out, or you should have been crazy mad, or crazy this. But no, you said you've got crazy peace, and crazy love, and crazy forgiveness, crazy joy. You're just crazy. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Makes you peculiar. Makes you a little abnormal. Now, I'll just say this. Now, I don't think we should set out, any of us should set out to try to be abnormal. But I think we should be whatever the Spirit makes us. Amen. We don't try to set out to be weird. But we set out to be whatever the Spirit has us be. And that alone will make us. You know, the Bible's full of instances like that. There's one in particular. There was no man no fuller of the Spirit than Paul. I mean, he was so full of the Spirit from the day that Ananias left him and there forth on, full of the Spirit. And everywhere he went, he was strange, peculiar, so different. I remember he went to see Festus. Y'all remember Festus? And I'm not talking about on Gunsmoke. There was another Festus in Acts 26. We'll read a couple of those verses. And thus he spoke. He was talking to Festus. He said with a loud voice, after he'd been talking to Festus and telling him who he was, this is what Festus said. Paul said, Paul, you are crazy. You are beside yourself. All this has made you mad. And then verse 25, he said, no, I'm not mad, most. I'm not crazy, most noble Festus, but I speak for, and I really got the words of truth. I see, you don't know that I see as closely as I do, or you think I don't understand, but it's you that don't understand. I see very well. I see very plainly. And that's really what is making me this strange or this peculiar. It's because of what I really do see. Amen. But you know, that's the way we should be. We should expect to be viewed in such a manner. Numbers 14:24, there was a man named Caleb. Y'all remember Caleb? Remember what God said about him. My servant Caleb. Listen, because he has another spirit with him. Another spirit with him. And he hath followed me fully. He was one of the only two that was going to get to go into the promised land. Everybody else was going to die in the wilderness. Everybody else. But it was because of this. And that word another, it's translated a couple of the places in Scripture as the very word I'm talking about tonight, strange. My Caleb, my servant Caleb, has this strange spirit with him. Makes him totally different. And that's why at the promised land, he didn't see giants, he seen God. He didn't see things that made others doubt. He seen God. He seen possibility. He seen not just possibility, but for sureness, because God was with him. And it was because of this other spirit. This other spirit made him so much different than an entire generation. We should be that way. You should be different than the entire generation. Than everyone else. Than the whole rest of the crew. That's eccentric. Amen. That was the most delightful word I could come up with. That's why I'm using it. It was eccentric. But it is strange. That's really what it is. It's strange. And it's okay. Because that's what we're called to be. And if we truly have the Spirit, if we truly have tapped into what this text that we were reading tells us we can tap into, what the promise of it is, it'll make us strange. As a matter of fact, it should make us strange. It should make us totally different. I appreciate those of you who think I'm a good man but a little off. Amen. One of them's Brent Byers. There you go. Yeah, yeah. I remember Diane back here. She's, well, I hope she don't mind me mentioning it. She left here with kind of the same thought. She thought I was on something. You are. It's something that can't be comprehended. It's just the work of the Spirit. Amen. And it makes it different. It makes you different. Amen. So that's the first thing tonight. That's the first thing that you should expect in a negative way. Because the reason you need to know that is if you've got a problem with being different, if you've got a problem with standing out, if you've got a problem for sticking out for Christ, you're going to have an issue with that. And you'll pull back. But I've come to tell you, man, it's going to make you different, but that's a good thing. Because we need different, and you need different. And for life to be what it should be, you should be different. For God to be able to do in your life and do what He wants to do, that should make you different. Yeah. Now, everybody don't have to try to be the different. No, you just let the Spirit make you different. We don't try to be crazy. I don't try to be weird. I don't try to be on something. But whatever the Spirit does. Amen? So that's the first thing. Now, here's the second thing. This goes a little bit further. This is something in another direction. Another total direction that you can expect in a negative consequence of being embraced, engulfed, baptized, submerged with the Spirit. And this is it. You should expect to feel the burden of the Lord. If you come in contact with His Spirit, that's what happened to these men. If you come in contact, you should expect to feel the burden of the Lord. Well, how's that negative, Brother Lee? Because you should expect to be grieved with what grieves His heart. And that sometimes is a negative type feel. Because what grieves His heart will begin to grieve yours if you have His Spirit. It'll affect you. It'll change your word. Whatever grieved our Lord. The fate of the lost. The peril of the lost will grieve you. I didn't used to have a problem with that. Of course, I was one of them. But when you get exposed to the Spirit, a dying world will grieve you. Sin will grieve you on your family, on your loved ones, on strangers. It'll grieve your heart. It'll cause you to look like Jesus did and weep as He looked at the city. It'll give you that burden. You see, the old prophets knew it very well. The old prophets used to speak it kind of like this. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them, and they would talk about the burden of the Lord. Or more often than not, they talked about the burden of the Word of the Lord. But that was a negative aspect of it that was really positive, but it was a part of it. Because when the fullness of the Spirit comes, the fullness of the mission should follow. There's no separating it. When you get the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of the mission runs out into the street. Because it's grieved. It must speak. When the fullness of the Spirit comes, yes, you may prophesy. Yes, you may speak in tongues, but I guarantee you one thing. You should be able to speak the gospel to the lost. Because you got that same burden that the Lord had. I believe it like this. I believe you will know what it is to be baptized with the baptism which He was baptized. The sorrow and the grief for souls. Paul best illustrates it in Scripture. Romans 9 and 1, Dusty, and 2, and then we'll go to 10. It says this. This is the burden I'm talking about. This is what he felt. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness. It was the Holy Ghost that was pressing him. It was the Holy Ghost that was pushing on his spirit. It was the Holy Ghost on his conscience, rather, pushing on his conscience. He was feeling the what I'm talking about, the burden of the Lord. So much so that verse 2 he then says, I have this great heaviness and this continual sorrow in my heart. And you know what that was? You got to go all the way to chapter 10, verse 1 to find it. But all the way to chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer, all of chapter 9 is about this. It's about that they might be saved. Amen. All of chapter 9 is building towards chapter 10. That's why he was being pressed by the Spirit of God. So that he carried the same burden that God did, that Jesus did for Israel. That they might be saved. That was his heart's desire. Heart's desire. That's how I ended up in the Spirit, by the way, in these messages, is because I had been, you know, all last year, I pounded mission, and felt like nowhere traction wise. So the Lord in his wisdom took me to spirit. Because when you really tap into that overflow of the spirit, mission comes. It just does. If you get the Spirit, you gotta have the mission. And if you don't have the burden of the Lord, I guarantee you, you ain't got the right spirit. That's hard, but that's the truth. It's the truth. Should be our heart's desire, full of the Spirit. Should, I don't know if this might be too strong, I don't know, but full of the Spirit should almost torture our hearts. It should. Our hearts should almost be tortured when we're full of God's Spirit. What for? For what? The burden. That grows. It just keeps growing. And it should be. It's a product of being in the Spirit. Now, I call it a negative, but it's not really a negative because it's really a positive. Being strange is really a positive, but because that's the very thing we need. We need that very burden. Amen. Amen. I believe that. Last thing. See there, I'm getting there. I've got a couple little things on this last thing. But we're almost there. This is the third thing that we should expect. And you already know the first couple things you're going to know real well, but the last thing is where I'm going to try to finish up. But this third thing, we should expect great opposition. Anytime that we are get in the Spirit, or there's a flow of the Spirit, or we get more of the Spirit, or whatever, you should expect great opposition. You just should know right now that if you just get a desire for the Spirit, there's some kind of struggle, there's some kind of opposition coming. If you get a blessing of the Spirit, there's some kind of opposition coming. If you get hungry for more and more and more and more of the Spirit, there's some kind of opposition coming. Some of you here tonight on Wednesday night, there's opposition probably fought you to get here. For sure. Like some people didn't make it here tonight even because of opposition. Because that's just the way this is. There's going to be opposition. Now, there's a couple of places it comes from. The first couple of things I'm going to talk about ain't even where the real opposition comes from. I mean, it's opposition, but it ain't the powerful opposition. We know that it comes from people. Sometimes the opposition comes from out there, like them men, you know. But you know what? That don't even faze me. I don't know about y'all. When those stood and might would call you eccentric or might doubt or say, are these drunken? Or those that might mock? Well, that's opposition. But now that don't much faze me, especially anymore. It might have earlier, but anymore, that don't much bother me, and it probably don't much bother much of you. But it's still opposition. Now, it enhances a little bit. There's probably nobody in here that what's said out there probably don't about. Ain't probably many in here that bothers at all. Am I right? I mean, it really don't. Maybe a little sometimes if it's the right way, but most time. But I know it ramps up and it hyphens a little bit when the opposition comes from within. Even within the church or church leaders. Maybe not this church or your own church, but other churches. You get a blessing, or you go to telling another church person about your blessing. You ever felt the opposition from that? You ever been challenged there? Like, see, the perfect example was Jesus. You know, with the church, the out there didn't oppose him at all. Out there wanted to eat supper with him. If you really got the Spirit, that's what I've learned. You really got the Spirit. Those people out there, they like to sit down with you. They enjoy being around you because you're so strange. Refreshing. You're fun to be around. You're nice to be around. You're different. You're not negative. You're not nasty. You're not disgusting. You're not depressing. And they like sitting around. You're a positive sort of guy. You want to get a burger? They do. Sinners love Jesus. Sinners wanted him to come eat. He was very strange, but they loved him. Jesus was strange. His teachings were strange. They were eccentric. They were crazy. You don't think they was crazy? He said, if a man hits you, turn the other cheek. That's pretty stinking crazy. If a man wants your coat, give him your billfold too. He didn't really say it that way, did he? But the point comes stronger, don't it? Huh? That's strange. You want to be first? We'll go to the end of the line. Strange. But everybody loved him. Full of the Spirit, without measure. Crazy strange. But the world out there didn't much bother him. Like I said, they loved him. His opposition was not out there. His opposition came from within. That's what, you don't know why? If you ever have church opposition to what the Spirit's doing in your life, it'll be just the same reason that Jesus had it. It's because they can't handle the experience you got. They couldn't handle Jesus' experience. No, not at all. It didn't fit their format. It didn't fit what they thought it should be. And they could not handle it. And therefore, they opposed everything. The religious people will stumble over your experience. They think, it's like in the book of Acts. They've been baptized. Cornelius' house. What? God had to give Peter a whole revelation on that, or he would have stumbled over them. He had to show them this big, eat everything, bless everything, Peter, before he could even accept, or he would have stumbled over what God was doing in their life. I've had people stumble over my life, over my experience, especially in the early days. They done about be still now pretty much, but I still every now and then will run. But back in the early days, man, they was stumbling all over the place because of what the Spirit was doing. How can this be? Amen. There's opposition. And they stumble over it. Amen. Don't be surprised if that ain't where your greatest fight comes as you try to gain more and more of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Another place that I wasn't even going to mention this, but I thought I'd throw it in just because it'd be on everybody's mind when they're talking about opposition, and that's Satan. I mean, I know that. He's going to fight you. He's going to come opposed to anything. He wants you lukewarm. He wants you totally lukewarm. And he's going to try to keep you lukewarm. And he's going to try to put everything he can in your way to keep you lukewarm, lazy, carnal. That's what he's going to do. But you know what? After I've looked and studied, that's not even, Satan is not the main opposition, especially when it comes to the Spirit. Satan can't stop God's Spirit. He can't oppose that. It's his, God's Spirit that opposes him. It's his Spirit that opposes Satan. When Satan comes in like a flood, who is it that rises up? It's God's Spirit. It's not the other way around. Matter of fact, God has to allow the temptation, allow the trial, whatever. So I know that's going to come because he wants to keep you lukewarm. He wants to keep me lukewarm. He wants me to stay carnal minded. But here's the greatest opposition, I believe with all my heart, greatest opposition to things of the Spirit, and that would be myself. Yourself. The things within, my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own emotions, the way I compute this experience, the way I try to understand and rationalize this experience. I am the greatest opposition to God's move of the Spirit. There's scripture for it. I'll give it all to you in a minute. But I'll give you this one right now, Galatians 5:17. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Always. "And the Spirit against the flesh." These two are at war. One to another. They are. They're continuously at war. They're continuously fighting. They're continuously waging war with each other. These two, and especially in my early years, and especially as I come through my experiences with the Spirit, and I was my greatest opposition. I fought myself. Whatever God did on Sunday, I fought it all week. The gain that would come on Sunday or at an altar service, the ground that was won in the Spirit, the flesh, my own thoughts or my own being rationale would begin to fight it and try to take back it all by the end of the week. Am I the only one? Fight against it. Trying to get my own understanding, fighting against it. My own being. Amen. Ever seemed like every move of the Spirit triggered this civil war. We sit in our benches like that. We do. We sit in our benches and a move of the Spirit triggers this instant civil war. Instantly, sometimes. Especially if we're having a bad day, we're a little skeptical anyway, we're a little cynical, especially depending on who God decides to use, because we know sometimes, well, surely God can't use them. And there's this civil war that breaks out immediately. There's this fight, and there's this opposition. Fight. I wish somebody had prepared me for that. I've heard people say it. I've heard people say that they had such an outpouring of the Spirit in their life at a service or whatever, at an altar time, and that God done this and God done that, and the next day they'd done lost it all. Everything that God did. What happened? The war. What happened? The war. Seen them blast them out their socks. I seen folk speak in tongues the next day. That wasn't real. Done beat themselves out of it. And that's in anything spiritual. That's the war. That's the I wish somebody had prepared me that there's going to be this negative. And every time God blesses me, there's going to be civil war right here front and center. Go break out between my ears and in my emotions. And I'm going to try to compute it all within. Amen. We'll try to understand it all. It's the greatest battle. It's the greatest. That's why I told you Sunday. I'd already been studying this, but that's why I told you Sunday. And I felt like I was speaking to a few that were here Sunday. That I understand. We doubt. That's part of the battle. The flesh. That's part of that war. That's his strategy. That's the strategy of the flesh. The flesh ain't going. They fight each other. Flesh ain't going to give ground easy. And every time we get a little advancement, he's going to start bombing you with doubt. Bombing you with doubt over and over and over. Over and over. That ain't real. That ain't right. That's you. That's them. That's emotions. There's all kinds of, there is so much junk that's come out of the war. There's entire people that think, well, we can't have too much emotion. Or we can't have too much of this. We don't want to play the music too fast right there. We don't want it to be hype. We don't want it to be, whatever. But I said this Sunday, I said, well, I know we doubt. That's the war that's going on. I know we doubt. But this is what I learned to do. If it's in God's word, I've learned to give God the benefit of the doubt. I have a verdict already that comes down. I have this verdict. It don't matter what goes on between my ears. It don't matter what kind of rationale I come up with or understanding I come up with. My tradition or my upbringing, that if God's word has said it, And even if I doubt it, I'm giving God the doubt, the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to rule in his favor. I'm going to say it's in his word like this, and I'm going to go with the word. I'm going to go with what he says. I'm going to rule in God's favor and not my doubt. Amen. Amen. I wish I'd have been taught that. I wish that had been taught that, man, you're going to fight everything that the Spirit tries to do. Your flesh. Everything that the Spirit tries to do, your flesh is going to war against. Your flesh is going to try to come against. I've learned there's no peaceful coexistence between this flesh and the Spirit. They don't coexist. You can't sit up in this pew and think that you can just be mediocre or coexist with both. Oh, no. You got to go one or the other. Either go with the flesh or you go with the Spirit. There's no coexistence. There's no co-ed in God's church when speaking on the flesh or the Spirit. There's none. There's war. That's what there is. There's war. Matter of fact, that should be your proof that you're even born again, not just full of the Spirit. The fact that there's this war going on between the flesh and the Spirit, that should be your proof that you're born again. And if there ain't a war going on, amen. Amen. Amen, Walls. Amen. It should be a struggle. I didn't used to have it. I could go to church before I got saved, got any of the Spirit. I didn't have no struggle. Preacher could preach hell all he wanted. I was no struggle. No struggle at all. He talked about the Spirit. There was no struggle. There was no war. Because I had none of it. My flesh was happy. There was no coexistence. There was no Spirit. The Spirit was dead. There was no Spirit. It was all flesh. I viewed everything carnal. And so did you. Everything. I was going to say this. Think about this. Your flesh, even as a believer, you might not even like this, but your flesh as a believer is just as foul as an unbeliever's flesh. Just as foul. Just as rotten. Just because you got saved don't mean your flesh still stinks. Your flesh will still not glory in the presence of God. Ever. That's why you're going to die. Or raptured. But either way, he's going to peel the flesh off of you because it's miserable. And it's none good. And when you go to heaven, you'll go in the Spirit. To be absent from this body. To be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen, church. Worst enemy. Spirituality is the way we try to compute, to figure these things. I want to read you this scripture, and then we're going to close. Romans 8, verse 5. And this just backs up everything that I've really said, really. For they that are after the flesh, what do they do? That's the war. That's the war. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is at enmity even with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's what I was saying. There ought to be a war. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to this. That's why I give God the benefit of the doubt. I don't owe this nothing now. It's all the Spirit. It's all the Spirit. I'm not a debtor to now live by this. I'm not anymore. 13 and 14, and then we'll close. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, fighting, boy, it's that war. You do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God. Amen. It was me. It's been me. It was me fighting. Amen. Greatest. I wish someone had prepared me a little more about that. Wish somebody had told me that just because of all these great and wonderful spiritual things is going to go on in your life and you're going to pursue even more and more and more. I wish someone had prepared me, but you're going to fight every move. Your own mind, your own thoughts, your own being, your own desires. You're going to have a taste for other things. You're going to fight every move of God. Every time God tries to move and to touch, you're going to fight it. Amen. Little sister, you want to come on up and strum a little bit or play a little bit or whatever it is you might want to do? You
you just let the Lord lead you.
Amen. Amen. I wish I had knew some of those things. It's made it now that I have a little bit easier. It's made being led by the Spirit a whole lot easier. Amen. And if you just realize that sometimes it's just the civil war is